Hello and welcome to Southern Middle Tennessee Today on WKOM and WKRM Radio. Your hometown news broadcasting from the Debbie Matthews Nashville Realty Newsroom in Columbia, Tennessee. I'm your host, Tom Price. Today is Tuesday, April 9th, and we start as always with local news. Columbia's 50th Mule Day went off without a hitch, so to speak, once again drawing thousands to the Southern Middle Tennessee community for a week of competitions, parades, food, and more. As always, Mule Day officially kicked off last Monday as the annual Mule Day wagon train lined up and began its miles-long journey to Murray County Park, arriving on Wednesday afternoon along with other fellow campers, vendors, and volunteers. The festival continued throughout the weekend, with stormy weather earlier in the week clearing just in time for the crowds to show up, with the aroma of fried corn, turkey legs, and livestock filling the air. It also allowed Saturday's parade to be pulled off on a warm, sunny day. This year's parade was led by country artist Clay Walker, who served as the 2024 Grand Marshal. Following Walker was a tribute to longtime Mule Day organizer and supporter Dave Skillington, as well as Mule Day Queen Anissa Grimes and her court, which included the first honorary Mule Day Queen, Carly McGee. Other parade leaders included the second annual Mule Man, Bernice White, and his family. "We've had really good attendance this year, though it was a little chilly, but we had a great crowd," Mandy Mills of the Mule Day office said. "It's always like seeing your family again, your Mule Day family," she said. The origins of Mule Day date back a century when Columbia was considered the mule trading capital of the nation. However, Mule Day, as we know it today, was reintroduced in 1974 following a long hiatus due to World War II. And it started, as many local events and projects do, through a collaboration of community groups, sponsors, and supporters. This included the Murray County Bridle and Saddle Club, who was only a few years old at the time. Even the Daily Herald and local radio stations contributed to backing this new Mule Day revival initiative. The 1974 Mule Day revival was organized starting with a budget of only $500. Columbia's government, as well as the Murray County Chamber of Commerce, soon came on board to also show their support. The first Mule Day consisted of a parade, a mule pulling, and a mule show, as well as a square dance. The Murray County Park was different then compared to now, Bridle and Saddle Club President Harv Spain said. "Now the facilities are better. We have two arenas, covered bars, enclosed metal buildings, and bathrooms, several bathrooms," he said. Some of those old traditions are still celebrated to this day, while others have been created through the years to become their own annual must-do annual activities, especially if you've got an empty stomach. The Murray County Senior Center, for example, has hosted its White Bean and Country Ham Day dating back to the beginning, back when the facility was founded nearly 50 years ago. The event not only raises funds for the center's programming, but also created bonds and memories over the years while sharing a down-home southern-cooked meal. On Friday, people always plan for their lunch at the Senior Center. Murray County Senior Center Executive Director Steve Thomas said, "The menu is pretty solid," he said. It's also a tradition that has been shared by multiple generations over the years, and that sometimes a good old-fashioned meal is more than just food on a plate, but a memory. It could be those years as a youngster growing up in the country, a loved one who has passed on, or simply part of the annual tradition which gives back to the community's elderly. "The guy who sells pork chops and turkey legs, he and I have become friends over the years. I try to invite all the vendors because this is always a big day for us," Thomas said. He told me, "Steve, I'll be there, because my daddy loved white beans and he's gone now, so I can eat that lunch and think about him. I thought that was pretty nice. Really nice," he said. Another popular aspect of Mule Day throughout the years are events such as the Liars Contest or the Auctioneers Contest, each of which continue to draw more contestants year after year. For the 50th, this year's Auctioneers Contest featured a new category, inviting young people to now take part in the long-standing Mule Day tradition, which organizers say has grown in popularity to rival the official state competition. "This is our 13th year, and yesterday was a booming success with 34 auctioneers from 10 states, and our new youth contest had 8 kids from about 3 states, and we had a great time with that," Jimmy Duggar of Cry Like Realty said. The most important thing is that this is for Breakfast Rotary Club, and all of the money from yesterday's proceeds go to our scholarship program. It has fully funded our scholarship program since we started 13 years ago, and we're over $80,000, not counting yesterday, for this program we've done every year, he said. Other new favorites returning this year was the third annual Mule Day Dog Show, as well as the second annual Little Miss Mule Day Pageant. This year also marked the first for a new program aimed at education scholarships. The Mule Day Works program provides career and technical education and vocational training scholarships for students. This will provide funding for things like tuition, books, and other materials. For more information on the Mule Day Works scholarship program, visit www.muleday.com/works. Less than a year after accepting the girls' basketball coaching position at Santa Fe, John Wild has resigned. Wild, who has won 633 career games and three Tennessee state championships over 10 high school stops in 32 seasons, has been named girls' coach at Forest in Chapel Hill, where he resides. Forest principal Angie Pfeiffer confirmed the appointment Monday morning. With the experience level he's at and the success factor he's had, we felt like he'd be a good fit for our program, Pfeiffer said. Santa Fe finished 11-17 and advanced to the Region 5 1A tournament quarterfinals under Wild, who succeeded Jonathan Slaughter in that role. The win total marked a high for the Lady Wildcats since going 14-12 in 2016-2017. Wild's short stint at Santa Fe, where he also held the title of athletics director, follows a four-year reign at Summit, during which his teams won 60 games and made three region tourney appearances. Prior to that, the Basketball Coaches Association of Tennessee's Hall of Fame inductee spent time at Franklin, Wilson Central, Riverdale, Franklin County, Lawrence County, and Bradford on the girls' side, along with boys' coaching stops at Harpeth and Moore County. He also served as an assistant at the University of Evansville and at Lipscomb University, his alma mater. He's one of four high school coaches to win Tennessee boys and girls state titles, having done so with Moore County's 1999 boys, Bradford's 2000 girls, and Riverdale's 2012 girls. At Forest, Wild succeeds Shane Chapman. The Lady Rockets went 4-18, losing their last 17 contests in Chapman's only season at the helm, after moving over from the boys' side to fill the vacancy created when Hal Murrell departed last spring to replace Wild at Summit. Habitat for Humanity Williamson Murray is thrilled to announce the opening of application for its home ownership program. The program offers eligible individuals the opportunity to achieve the dream of home ownership through a collaborative and supportive process. We help families and individuals buy their first home by removing the down payment and customizing mortgage payments to never be more than 30% of their income. With that kind of financial stability, kids can put down roots and parents can start planning for the future. We bridge the gap between renting and buying a home the traditional way, shared Hannah Siegmiller, Habitat for Humanity Williamson Murray Homeowner Services Manager. To be eligible for the program, applicants must meet three basic criteria: need a safe, affordable housing, ability to pay a monthly mortgage, and willingness to be an active partner for the duration of the process. For full details on program qualifications, please visit hfhwm.org/apply. Once approved, families will help build their own homes alongside volunteers and community partners. Those homes are then sold with affordable financing to the families. Program participants will complete budget coaching and home buyer education to prepare for the responsibilities that come with home ownership. Our path to home ownership is an important and in-depth process that requires hard work, time, and dedication. But this helps ensure the long-term success of our partner families, said Siegmiller. Nobody is a better testament to the transformative power of Habitat ownership than Karika Washington. From Habitat homeowner to Habitat for Humanity Williamson Murray board member, the trajectory of her life has changed since becoming a homeowner. I received my Habitat home 8 years ago. I was a 30-year-old single mother and never thought I would have a safe and secure home for me and my son. The budgeting classes and the first-time homeowner classes helped me so much, and I continue to use the budgeting class to this day, Washington said. Habitat for Humanity Williamson Murray started the stepping stones for my career and my ability to provide for my son in the way that I didn't think I would, she said. By offering a hand up, not a hand out, Habitat for Humanity Williamson Murray is committed to empowering families to build strength, stability, and self-reliance through shelter. The organization invites individuals and families who meet the eligibility criteria to apply for the home ownership program and take the first step towards home ownership. For those interested in applying or learning more about the home ownership program, please visit www.hfhwm.org or contact through email apply@hfhwm.org. A total of 700 runners and walkers participated in the 2024 Mule Kick 5K and 1 Mile Trot presented by First Farmers Bank at Riverwalk Park on Saturday, April 6th, raising a record $64,344 for the Murray Regional Healthcare Foundation, thanks to contributions from racers and local sponsors. Proceeds from the Mule Kick 5K and 1 Mile Trot help to support Murray Regional Health's mobile medical unit, which serves at-risk and uninsured patients throughout the region and has touched the lives of thousands of individuals since 2017. Proceeds also support the Foundation's Wellness and Aquatic Center Healthy Living Endowment, the City of Columbia Parks and Recreation Department, and the Physical Education Program at Brown Elementary, the area school with the most race participants. This year, the Foundation's annual Mule Kick 5K and 1 Mile Trot topped our fundraising record once again, said Murray Regional Health CEO Dr. Martin Chaney. This would not be possible without the generosity of our community and the outstanding efforts of Foundation Executive Director Joe Kilgore, Development Specialist Courtney Lewandowski, and Department Support Coordinator Leah Henry. I would like to thank presenting sponsor First Farmers Bank and all of our sponsors, runners, walkers, and volunteers who make this event possible. The funds raised from this event will support at-risk and underserved populations through services like the Murray Regional Mobile Medical Unit, he said. David Hudson had the fastest run of the day in the 5K, finishing first overall in 18 minutes 34 seconds, while Sienna Anderson was first overall for the women with a time of 19 minutes 29 seconds. In the master category, Ethan Krull was first for the men in 19:10, and Andrea Rich finished in 23:42 to lead the women. David Craig and Carol Mosher went home winners in the super grand master category, finishing respectively in 29:37 and 34:50. The top three female finishers in the 1 mile trot included Hannah Tucker, Kenzie Calabrese, and Emerson Teal, while the top three male finishers were Ezekiel Stewart, Axel Spare, and Dean Turner. A full overview of all the winners from the male and female age group categories is available at runsignup.com/MuleKick5K, where all 5K racers can also view their individual times and download their finisher certificates. Photos from the 2024 event will soon be available at facebook.com/MuleKick5K. To learn more about the Murray Regional Healthcare Foundation or to make a gift to the mobile medical unit, visit www.murrayregional.com/foundation. For information about sponsoring the 2025 Mule Kick 5K and 1 Mile Trot, email mrhfoundation@murrayregional.com or call 931-380-4075. The Trial Court Vacancy Commission is accepting applications for a circuit court judge in the 22nd Judicial District, which covers Murray County. This vacancy will be created by the upcoming retirement of Judge David Allen on August 3rd. Qualified applicants must be licensed attorneys who are at least 30 years of age, residents of the state for 5 years, and residents of the 22nd Judicial District. The commission is committed to encouraging a diverse judiciary and welcomes all qualified attorneys to apply. Interested applicants must complete the Trial Court Vacancy Commission application and submit it to the Administrative Office of the Courts by noon on Wednesday, April 17th. Applicants must submit by the deadline the original signed unbound applications and a digital copy of the applications in order to be placed on the list of candidates for consideration for the judicial vacancy. The commission will hold a public hearing to consider applicants on Monday, May 20th at Columbia Central High School, located at 921 Lyon Parkway in Columbia, at 9 a.m. local time. For more information, visit www.tncourts.gov. Join the King's Daughters School for their annual About Autism Lunch and Learn called See Beyond the Spectrum. The program will feature Annette Hatfield, the director of the Center for Autism, to learn about autism and how we can partner as a community to provide safe places and inclusion for everyone. The event will take place on April 16th at 11:30 a.m. at the King's Daughters School, Craig Hall, located at 401 West 9th Street in Columbia. You can RSVP by emailing Tiffany Wright at tiffany.wright@tkds.org. The King's Daughters School promotes independence through educational, residential, and community services for individuals with developmental disabilities, continuing a 100 years legacy of service. Now through Wednesday, April 10th, Blood Assurance will be offering their O negative donors only a $25 e-gift card. This gift card will be emailed to all O negative donors who have a correct email address on file. The email will be sent at the end of the week from Tango Rewards. They can go online to redeem their gift card at several vendors, including Walmart, Target, Amazon, Bass Pro, restaurants, fast food chains, and more. So give blood this week through Wednesday, April 10th. If you're O negative, you get a $25 e-gift card. Columbia State Community College's Columbia campus is excited to announce summer camps for 2024. The Game Design Unity Camp will run from June 10th through the 14th for rising 6th through 8th grade students. Campers will craft virtual worlds, master optimization techniques, and bring their video games to life with sounds and animations. Join us for an adventure in creativity and technology. Rhythm Retreat Music Camp will run from June 24th through the 27th for rising 4th through 6th graders. Student participants will experience drumming, comprehend new piano skills, enjoy music games, and take part in choral singing. Innovate and Illuminate will run from July 8th through the 12th for rising 6th through 8th graders. Participants will learn to make fun and useful projects using the fundamentals of circuit building and microcontroller programming. For more information and to register for any of the camps, visit www.campusce.net/Columbia State, or you can email workforcedev@columbiastate.edu. And now your hometown memorials, sponsored by Oaks and Nichols Funeral Home. Mr. William Billy Fowler Ridley, 55, a self-employed carpenter and resident of Columbia, died Thursday, April 4th in Columbia. Funeral services for Mr. Ridley will be conducted Thursday at 1 p.m. at Oaks and Nichols Funeral Home. Burial will follow in Rose Hill Cemetery. The family will visit with friends on Wednesday from 4 to 8 p.m. at the funeral home. Nell Broadway Gillum, 95, a former longtime resident of Columbia and retired co-owner and operator of Gillum Brothers Grocery, died Monday, April 8th at the Arbors at Willow Springs in Spring Hill. Funeral services will be conducted on Thursday, April 11th at 3 p.m. at Oaks and Nichols Funeral Home. Burial will follow in Rose Hill Cemetery. The family will visit with friends on Thursday from 1 to 3 p.m. at Oaks and Nichols Funeral Home. Online condolences may be extended at www.oaksandnichols.com. Hometown Memorials is sponsored by Oaks and Nichols Funeral Home, serving with dignity and consideration for over 150 years.
As years go by, people may tend to forget just what a funeral is really all about. At Oaks and Nichols, we believe it's first and always a special remembrance of someone you love. We start by listening to your needs and desires. If you're unsure, we can help, gently, professionally. At Oaks and Nichols Funeral Directors, we haven't lost sight of why we're here, to serve Maury County families in the ways they prefer, and why the way you feel has always been so important to Susie and Tony Sowell.
When people come here, I hope they feel like they're working with a person who's just like family. And by the time they leave here, I hope they feel like they're a part of our family.
What I like most is when a family is leaving, they can say thanks. You made something we thought would be hard easier than we thought it would be. Not that we made it easy, we made it easier.
Oaks and Nichols Funeral Directors, 320 West 7th Street in Columbia. Since 1856, people you can rely on.
For your southern Middle Tennessee weather, we will have periods of rain today with a high near 65 degrees. Winds will be out of the south-southeast at 10 to 15 miles per hour. There's a 100% Chance of rain today, with over an inch possible. Tonight, we can expect rain showers early that will evolve into a more steady rain overnight. The low will be 59 degrees, with winds out of the south-southeast at 5 to 10 miles per hour. The chance of overnight rain, 80%, with another quarter of an inch possible. Let's take a break. When we come back, we'll cover state and national news that affect you. You're listening to Southern Middle Tennessee Today.
Debbie Matthews, realtor, and her husband Jason, who is a pro songwriter, also own a music publishing company. They live in historic downtown Columbia with their dogs. Dog rescue work is their passion project. They consider Middle Tennessee their backyard, and their lives are full of all things Tennessee. Debbie says there is no greater honor than to help someone find a home. To be trusted with that job, there is no greater privilege. Call Debbie at the Nashville Realty Group, 615-476-3224, 615-476-3224.
Family first. My dad used to tell us that all the time. But family first wasn't just something he'd say to us. It was how he lived every day of his life. And it's how I try to live mine too.
At Shelter Insurance, our agents are dedicated to helping provide personalized auto, home, and life protection that puts your family first.
For auto, home, life, or business insurance, see Shelter agent Tommy Hyde Jr. at 388-2009.
Are you thinking about a new fence? Maybe you need a pole barn. Then you should give Sands Fence Company a call. That's 931-309-1644. Will Sands has built his business based on the principles of honesty, quality, and integrity. Sands Fence Company has been in business for over 20 years, providing the community with farm, residential, and commercial fencing, as well as pole barns and buildings. Call today for a free estimate. Sands Fence Company, 931-309-1644. 931-309-1644.
For 40 years, the Jewelers Bench has worked hard for their customers and provided the highest quality jewelry at the best price. They keep going back. Recent renovations have allowed them to expand their inventory. More high quality jewelry, custom vintage and estate pieces, and professional jewelry and watch repairs. They also buy gold. The Jewelers Bench, still here, still great service. 808 Trotwood Avenue, Columbia.
When you bank local, you get local expertise. Hi, this is Felicia Brown with First Farmers. We've supported families, individuals, and businesses of Middle Tennessee for over a century. You are more than an account number. You are our community, and we're committed to helping you thrive. Switch to First Farmers, visit myfirstfarmers.com, or call 1-800-882-8378. Member FDIC.
This is Trey Adcock with Dixie Equipment Sales and Rental. We sell ASV and Wacker Neuson equipment. We also rent a wide variety of compact equipment in the Middle Tennessee area. Come see us. We are located in Columbia, Tennessee at 200 East 16th Street. You can call us at 615-969-0118 or visit our website at www.dixiediesel.com. We have been in business for over 42 years and we would love to help you turn your project into reality.
This is Bob Kessling with Pat Ryan. It's a beautiful day for digging. The backhoe operator has the engine running and is moving into position. He's heading for the ground. He's in there. Wait, there's a flag on the play. Let's get out of the field for the call from our official.
Illegal procedure on the digging team.
Oh, that penalty could cause a costly accident.
That's right, Bob. He needs to call before he digs. There's underground utility lines that could be hiding just below the surface. Water, sewer, electrical, communication lines, and even natural gas.
Avoid a penalty by first calling 811 to have any underground public utility lines located and marked with flags or paint.
It's free, it's easy, and it's the law.
For more tips, visit pipesafety.org. This message brought to you by the Tennessee Association of Broadcasters and the Tennessee Gas Association, funded in part by a grant from the Underground Utility Damage Enforcement Board.
Welcome back to Southern Middle Tennessee Today on Kennedy Broadcasting, WKOM 101.7 and WKRM 103.7. I'm Tom Price. And now news from around the state. A bill to require public schools in Tennessee to teach children age-appropriate firearm safety concepts as early as pre-kindergarten is going to Governor Bill Lee's desk after a final Senate vote on Thursday. Members of the Tennessee Senate passed House Bill 2882 in a party-line vote of 24-3 on Thursday morning. It passed the House of Representatives back in February. If signed, school children would be taught age-appropriate and grade-appropriate concepts about guns beginning in the 2025-26 school year. Proponents of the safety concepts training have likened it to mandatory school fire drills. This curriculum would be developed to instruct children on how to properly stay away from a firearm if they happen to see a firearm, and what to do as far as reporting if they find a firearm, said Senator Paul Bailey. Republicans voted down an amendment Thursday that would have allowed parents to opt their children out of the instruction. Training would be conducted through viewing of videos and online content. Live ammunition, live fire, and live firearms would be prohibited. The bill does not specifically prohibit non-functional model weapons. Parameters for the curriculum and appropriate ages for it to be taught would be determined by the Tennessee Department of Education, the Tennessee Department of Safety and Homeland Security, and the Tennessee Wildlife Resources Agency. Schools would be required to provide instruction on safe storage of firearms, safety relating to firearms, how to avoid injury if a student finds a firearm, never to touch a found firearm, and to immediately notify an adult if the location of a found firearm. Senator Jeff Yarborough, a Democrat from Nashville, argued Thursday that the training requirement represents a hurried effort to address the symptom of a systematic problem, and lawmakers should be doing more to address the root cause. Senator Charlene Oliver, another Democrat from Nashville, argued the state should allow parents to opt their children out of the firearms training. Senator Richard Briggs, a Republican from Knoxville, said the state does not require parental permission to allow parents to opt children out of mandatory school fire drills or active shooter drills. Briggs called the legislation one of the most important bills we have that could potentially save lives, he said. Let's take one last break. When we come back, we'll cover the final story of the day. You're listening to Southern Middle Tennessee Today.
Turner and Osborne Tire Company, 1016 South Main Street in Columbia. Give them a call at 931-388-6822. They've been doing business since 1947 and in their current location since 1964. They provide the best tire and mechanical work at some of the best prices in Middle Tennessee. Hey, they're official Michelin and Goodyear dealers, and they've got all kinds of brands as well. Stop by and see Walker Vining and his professional staff, or check them out online at turnerandosborne.com. That's turnerandosborne.com.
Looking for a physician? Choosing a healthcare provider for your family is one of the most important decisions you will make. Murray Regional Medical Group delivers primary care for individuals of all ages, from newborns to adults, and has an array of specialists ranging from endocrinologists to urologists. With locations in Murray, Lewis, Marshall, and Wayne counties, our experienced team can provide you with quality care close to home. For more information, visit MurrayRegionalMedicalGroup.com. Murray Regional Medical Group. Your health is our primary care.
Have you ever wondered if your insurance needs can be personalized? This is Hunter Carey. Our team specializes in planning your insurance needs to get you the best possible solution. State Farm is the largest home and auto insurer in the country. I love bringing that to my hometown. Born and raised in Columbia, I'm grateful for our close community ties. We offer help with home, auto, and life insurance for everyone in our community. Our office is located at 909 South Garden Street, across from the fire station. We're also online at huntercarey.com. That's Hunter, C-A-R-Y.com.
Welcome back to Southern Middle Tennessee Today, and now our final story. Franklin resident Quintavious Johnson competed in the top 24 round of season 22 of the singing competition show American Idol on Sunday night. Johnson performed in part one of the two-part top 24 episode, which takes place in Hawaii. The competitors were mentored by Grammy winner and Idol alum Tori Kelly. The 21-year-old sang Something in the Water, a Grammy-winning song from fellow Franklin resident Carrie Underwood. Johnson is now to await the first audience vote of the season, which will determine which contestants will advance to the top 20 round. The top 20 reveal will take place on April 14th and will air at 7 p.m. on ABC. That's all for this edition of Southern Middle Tennessee Today on Kennedy Broadcasting WKOM, WKRM Radio. I'll be back tomorrow to update you with the latest news. I'm Tom Price. Thanks for listening. Be safe and have a great day.